The rich are getting even richer. The top 10% of earners took more than half of the country's total income last year. That's the highest level recorded since government began collecting the data a century ago. So we've been asking today, is that good news or bad news or no news at all for the average American?
My message is a quote from Ralph Nader's book. They talk about changing the Pledge of Allegiance, the last line from Liberty and Justice for All to Liberty and Justice for Some. That helps sum up the injustice that our economic system has.
The main concern with income distribution migrating to the top as it has is that it goes way beyond the top 1% or 10% having enough money to buy every toy they want. They get to the point where they have so much money that they have already got every toy they want, and they then take the remaining money and buy legislation that works against the rest of us.
Joining us with more perspective on the report suggesting the income gap in America is the highest since records started being kept are economist Ben Powell, senior fellow at the nonprofit research organization, the Independent Institute. He's also director of the Free Market Institute at Texas Tech. Ben, thanks for joining us.
All right. You're welcome. Good to be with you.
And with us on the line, economist Dean Baker, founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Thank you, Dean, for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Dean, what do you think about this report? Are we seeing the biggest income inequality in our lifetimes?
Well, you know, whether it's exact most or not, I mean, a little bit of this is due to tax timing. But the basic story, we've seen a massive upward redistribution of income over the last three decades, and there's nothing to stop it. So certainly we're at, you know, or above, you know, the highest levels we've seen in the last century. So we do have enormous inequality.
Ben Powell, do you agree with the premise that we are seeing a huge, massive redistribution of our wealth from the bottom to the top?
Well, no, I think the phraseology is wrong here. It's not a redistribution of the income. Income inequality can be rising, but that doesn't imply that it's taking money away from the poor and giving it to the rich. What's happened is our economy has grown tremendously over the last 30 years, and rather than worrying about the equality of the income, I worry more about how is the standard of living in the absolute sense of the poorer people in the United States? And the good news on that is, despite all of the problems that we have, the poor people in the classified in poverty in the United States today have a better standard of living than the average middle-class worker in the United States circa 1970.
Dean Baker, why should we care if the rich are getting richer? Is that wealth coming from the rest of us?
Well, it certainly is. And again, getting back to this, they talk about growth. In fact, the over the last three decades has been considerably slower than it was in the prior three decades when you had much more equality. And I did not use the term redistribution accidentally. We've had policies that have been designed to redistribute income upwards. For example, our manufacturing workers compete with low-paid workers in Mexico and China. We don't do the same with our doctors, our lawyers, and other professionals. Deliberate policy. I could give you case after case after case where we have explicit policies that have had the effect of upward redistribution of income. In many cases, slowing growth.
Ben Powell, you don't seem to agree with that. You say the pot's just getting bigger?
Well, I think the main thing that's going on is that the pie's getting bigger. We're a much richer society, and when our manufacturing workers compete with workers in other countries, we're getting products here that are cheaper that allow the poor people in the United States to have a better standard of living than they would otherwise. I do certainly agree that there are particular misguided government policies that redistribute income all sorts of ways, both upward and downward. It's really not a classification of whether you're rich or poor. It's whether you're politically connected or not. And I think the crony capitalism on Wall Street and the redistribution of taxpayer funds to rich bankers is certainly a bad thing that we should abhor. But this is nothing related to income inequality per se that's causing this.
Dean Baker, what about Ben's point where he said we shouldn't be so concerned about inequality because the standard of living of people, even at the lower end of the economic ladder, is better?
Well, we almost always see improvements in income. So this is kind of a straw man. I mean, you'd have to be really, really malicious to try and design an economy where you didn't see any improvements in income in a 40-year period. I mean, that would really be astounding. The question is the rate of increase. If you go back to the early post-war years from 1945 to the mid-70s, income for a typical family was rising about 2.5% a year. If you look at the cumulative gains from, say, 1980 to the present, for a typical worker, it's around 6, 7, 8% for over a 30-year period. So we're going to see rises in income unless something really, really horrible happens. The question is the rate of those increases, and for typical workers, that's slowed enormously.
But if I understood Ben's point correctly, he's saying that even people at the lower end of the income bracket are still enjoying flat screen TVs, are still enjoying many benefits that they would have not enjoyed in previous eras.
Well, people in you know, developing countries, in Indonesia, who live much poorer living standards than you know, we did 40 years ago, have flat-screen TVs. I mean, you know, this is an unusual comparison. We have standard metrics. We look at income adjusted for inflation. That's the standard way economists look at this. And income adjusted for price increases, on average, has risen much less rapidly over the last three, four decades, wherever you want your cutoff, than it did in the three decades following World War II.
Ben Powell, I want to follow up on something you said, and one of our listeners said also in that clip we heard a little bit earlier, the sense that the super wealthy are not just using their money to buy things, they're also using their money to influence the political process. And it sounded like a little bit earlier you were suggesting that indeed that is the case, that there are government policies that are benefiting the super rich, probably not in a way that benefits all of us.
But yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. It's not just the super rich, though. Some of the super rich take huge hits from the government on this. It's a relative access to power within the government that's not narrowly defined by your money income. What I would like to say about this standard of living thing and inequality, though, is when we look at income inequality, it grossly overstates like actual lived inequality. I mean, for example, to make this concrete, Bill Gates has an income probably more than 10,000 times my income this year. But Bill Gates isn't going to fly to Europe 10,000 times quicker than me. He's not going to live 10,000 times longer than me. The food he consumes is not 10,000 times better than mine. So how we measure income inequality and how our lives are actually unequal in terms of what we consume and enjoy, it's much closer to equality on the margins that really matter, not just measured income.
Dean Baker, what about that? Is it closer to the way we really live?
Well, in a certain sense, that's true in that, you know, certainly Bill Gates can't possibly consume, you know, 100,000 times as much as I do. I mean, there's no way he possibly could. On the other hand, you know, you take someone like Koch Brothers, you know, conservative multi-billionaires, they use that money to buy themselves all sorts of power. So, no, it's true. You know, they aren't going to, you know, how many homes can they possibly consume? How many meals can they, you know, there's a limit on that. But, you know, the fact that you have, you know, these enormously wealthy people, that allows them to buy power in some ways. You know, some of us might think that's even worse.
A final question for each of you, given your different perspectives on this. Ben, you don't sound as concerned about this as Dean does. Should something be done, though, to address the relative income levels of different levels of Americans?
No, I think what should be done, I do think we should limit access to using politics to redistribute income to rich people or anyone else. The Koch brothers are actually a bad example of that because, for the most part, what they lobby for is actually getting rid of government interference in the economy, which is what I'd advocate doing. Otherwise, as long as it's market-generated inequality in income, entrepreneurs, when they're not using the strong arm of the government, only get their wealth by better serving the massive consumers in society, and that makes poor and wealthy alike better off. Whatever income distribution comes from that, so be it.
Dean Baker, what steps do you think we should take to deal with this, which you see as a serious problem in our society?
Well, the problem is we have structured the markets. This is not just a market that God gave us. We've had rich people structure the markets. I'd like to structure them differently. For example, Mitt Romney got enormously wealthy, largely by taking advantage of tax differences that are tax schemes that are there basically for people to rip off. So I want to get rid of a lot of the things. I want to get rid of too-big-to-fail banks. I want to have the financial sector taxed like the food sector, like every other sector in the economy. And I'd like to make doctors compete the same way that auto workers have to compete. So I would restructure markets in a way that stopped redistributing income upward and ensured that all of us benefit from economic growth.
Dean Baker, founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and we heard from Ben Powell, senior fellow with the nonprofit research organization, the Independent Institute, and director of the Free Market Institute at Texas Tech. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me on.
Both responding to a report that showed that the top 10% of earners took more than half of the country's total income last year. From KUOW, this is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds.